Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. Let's begin by praying our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we just come before you to say thank you, to give you praise, to give you all glory and honor. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to sit at your feet this morning. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you, Spirit of the living God, for being our teacher and our guide. And this morning, as we pray Colossians 1, 9 through 14 over ourselves, we invite you to pray along with us. For this reason, also from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. We pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Father God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And you, Father, have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. For all this, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it is in Jesus' mighty name with thanksgiving we have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, today I want us to begin looking at the art of biblical meditation. And the reason being that last week we looked at, the command that God gave to Joshua. We were in Joshua chapter 1, and we recognize that he told Joshua what to be, but there's only two things that he told him to do. Amen. And so one of them was that, in verse 7, it's in Joshua 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Only you be strong and very courageous that you may do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go." So that doing there is following everything that we have been given in the Bible. The Bible is our manual for life here on earth. Everything that we've been given in the Bible is for us to use whilst we're here on earth. It's not things that we will need when we are in heaven. Of course, we'll need to know how to worship, because we're told in the book of Revelation that the angels, spend night and day worshiping God. So we need to know how to worship, praise God, and, give thanks. And then, but everything else is written for us to know how to live this godly life, to know how to live the Christian walk or the faith. The Bible, in the book of Acts, it calls us the faith. So we should know how to walk out and live our lives, and we need to teach our children so that they can teach their children and all that. And so that's the first doing, in doing everything according to the word of God. You can't pick out what you want to do and then not do something else because you don't feel like it or it doesn't seem right. For instance, God tells us to pray for our enemies. Well, you can't say, "Well, I don't like them. They're my enemy. I'm not going to pray for them." Well, you're, breaking one of the commandments. You have to pray for your enemies in order for things to go well for you. It tells us there's so many different things that the Bible lists out that we need to do. Some of the things have conditions attached to them, and so if you don't do, if you don't meet the conditions, then you can't receive that promise that is attached to that condition. And so there's a lot of things, again, that we need to learn throughout the Bible. But one thing that I do want us to look at is in verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So God gave Joshua the responsibility of doing something. He wanted him to meditate on the word of God day and night. Now, day and night doesn't necessarily mean twice a day. It means throughout the day, throughout the night, you know, and we'll really need to talk about this, because I believe it's one of the, you know, it's an art that a lot of Christians do not know how to do. And the enemy, you know, uses this as a strategy against us, because he knows that he can easily, you know, defeat a Christian who never meditates on the word of God. And so God is telling Joshua that once he does this meditation, he will, you know, that's how he'll be able to observe and to do according to all that is written in the word. And then he, not only that, he will be the one to make his way prosperous, and he will deal wisely and have good success. Now, from the time I learned how to meditate, you know, I learned different ways, it's one of the things that I found that a lot of, you know, leaders don't even really know how to explain how to meditate. And for the longest time, it used to be difficult for me to explain to somebody else how to meditate. So I would explain to them or teach them how to do it the way I knew how to do it, the way I was taught. But over time, I've discovered that this, you know, I've gone back to God, of course, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to me a better way of teaching people how to meditate so people can grasp it. Because even though, you know, I've shared in the past what I know, my experiences, I've discovered that most people still don't do it. And so at least the people that I minister to, but I know that a lot of Christians in the body of Christ don't meditate. And that's one avenue that the enemy uses because of that to hinder us and bring, you know, trouble in our lives. Now, before I actually start talking deeply about meditation, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he taught them through a parable, and this parable of seed. I'll just begin to read it quickly. Verse 1, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a ship in order to sit in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. And he taught them many things in parables, illustrations, or comparisons put besides truths to explain them. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow." So this is important, because he tells them, "Give attention to this." He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell on the path and along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed of the same kind fell on the ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielded up to 30 times as much, and 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sown. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him be hearing, and let him consider and comprehend. As soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. And so let's jump to where he starts explaining to them what this parable means. Let's start from verse 13. And he says, and he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? Verse 14, the sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. So this, again, Jesus is talking to us who are of Christian faith, that when we receive the word is sown. So when the word is being preached, it's like a farmer sowing seed in the soil, and the soil is our hearts. And so when the word is being preached, the ones along the path are those who have the word preached to them or sown in their hearts. But when they hear the word, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. So these are, you know, we churchgoers, you know, meetings, conferences, whatever, where you can hear, you know, nowadays with technology, you hear the word online or whatever. But as soon as the word is preached, you know, or taught, you hear that word, but it's not, you know, it's not staying in their hearts, because immediately the enemy comes. And remember, the persecution that you and I suffer from the hands of the enemy is really because of the word of God. He doesn't want that word to produce fruit in our lives. And so immediately Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Verse 16, and in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, and at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy, and they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased and indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. This is the condition of most Christians who do not meditate on the word of God. Then we go to verse 18. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Again, this is another condition of believers. So the first group of believers here, well, let me finish. Verse 20, and those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. And so the first group is usually the first group, that the ones sown along the path, they hear the word, but when they hear it, Satan comes at once. These are usually new believers who don't really know all the applications of meditation and all that stuff. So a lot of new believers, they can be happy that they've received Christ, but they haven't been taught. They're still living, you know, one leg in, one leg out, or even if they've given their lives to Christ and they're excited about this new venture, but they don't really know how to, you know, how to maintain the word in their lives. What happens is that the word is sown in them. Immediately Satan comes, because he doesn't want them to be grounded in the word of God. And so what he does is he comes at once by force, takes away the message that was sown in them. So this is for new believers. And then we go to the same group, the next group, where the word is sown upon stony ground. These are when they hear the word at once, receive and accept and welcome it with joy, but they have no real root. So this is now a believer who's been in the things of God for a bit, and they go to church, they hear sermons preached, you know, they've been, you know, for years hearing the word preached, but it has no real root in them. So, you know, when things arise, trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, they get easily offended. These are the ones that get easily angry. They've got different things going on in their lives. And so they may be very nice people, but when it comes to the word, it doesn't take root in their lives. And so because this group also doesn't know how to meditate. And so when things happen, they get offended and all that stuff, they stumble away. That's a group that can easily say, well, you know, I'm done with praying. I'm done reading the Bible. I'm done going to church. This is that group that, you know, I'm just done. Now, you know, this God stuff, I'm done. It's not working. So that's that group right there. Then comes this group, which is generally a lot of believers who are still walking the walk of faith. And verse 18, and the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasures, delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and all that, the passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word that they have heard, and it becomes fruitless. This is the general condition of most Christians who've been in the things of God for a long time, for a while. You know, we are bothered by, you know, the cares and anxieties of the world, the things that are going on. We're distracted, you know, going after, you know, wanting to be successful, all this, you know, that's the group that most of us fall into. We hear the word, we welcome it, you know, you know, but the word is sown among thorns in our heart. The thorns, the cares and the anxieties of the world, things that are distracting us, the pleasure and delight, the false glamour and the deceitfulness of riches and, you know, the craving and passionate desire for other things, you know, desiring to be prosperous, desiring this. And there's nothing wrong. God wants us to be prosperous, but it can't be that kind of desire that is more than you desiring God. And so, you know, we have all these cares, worries, anxieties, discouragements, all that stuff. So the Bible calls those things thorns. And so when the word is received and we, you know, we are faithful, we go to church, we pay tithes and offerings, we, you know, we give kingdom, we, you know, we give towards, you know, supporting ministries and, you know, we support the work of the Lord, kingdom investments, this, I mean, we do everything. However, when the word comes, because we have all these cares and all these different things going on in our lives, anxieties, distractions, even though we hear the word, it really doesn't really bear fruit in our lives the way it's supposed to, because the word is being choked and suffocated because of all these thorns that we have going on in our lives. Then we have, you know, the good ground. Those sown on good ground are the ones who hear the word, receive and accept and welcome it, and bear fruit. The 60, 30, 100 times, that is a person who's grown in the things of God, matured in the word, and meditates on the word of God. That is how come they're able to bear fruit either 30 times, 100, you know, 60 times and 100 times. And a lot of times you've gone to God, well, you know, I'm sowing this seed. I want a return, 100-fold return on it. Well, I don't have time to teach on the seed part right now. I want to talk about the meditation part. But this is depending on how you meditate. You will either receive back 60 times as much, or 100 times, 30 times as much, or 60 times as much, or even 100 times. 100 times means that you've completely grasped this art of meditation, that when you do meditate, it produces for you 100% what you have meditated upon, what the word has promised. The 30 times, it produces for you some, but not fully the entire promise of God. Then the 60, it's producing, you know, again, it's producing a good amount of part of that promise of God, but not the entire promise. And so this is how the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm telling you this, downloaded right from the Holy Spirit's, you know, school, where he taught me this is how I should look at meditation as I teach people, because this is an art that is lost in the body of Christ. And like I said, generally, a lot of us are either in the second group, where there's the word is sown on stony ground, or the third group, this group that the most of the Christians, our condition is where the word is sown on thorns, because we have cares in the world and we are worried about all this and worried about all that. Now, meditation is an art that, you know, it's really something that we have to do. Just like God told Joshua, you must meditate on the word day and night. So not twice a day, but during the day and during the night. And it's easy to meditate on the word day and night. It's not, you know, and I'll show you as we go along, I'll show you how, because without it, you will not be prosperous. You'll not deal wisely and have good success. You can go after success. You might think you're successful in one thing, but the devil will come and steal that away. Or, you know, you might think, hey, I'm getting there to that place of prosperity. But the only way for the foundation that God has given us is through the word of God. And the way we do it is through meditation, meditating on the word of God. Now, there's a certain type of wisdom. Remember, the Bible in Proverbs chapter 1 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we need wisdom. You know, in James, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without wavering, because a man who doesn't ask in faith, let him not think he'll receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded. I'm just paraphrasing, but that's what James says. Anyhow, so this is meditation actually gives us the wisdom and understanding that we need that is beyond just reading and beyond intellectual sense. It's beyond reading the Bible. You know, reading the Bible, you can read, you can understand the stories. You might even be able to relate to some of the stories, but that's it. It just ends there. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of God. That knowing there is that having the knowledge or having the understanding of what it is that we are studying in the Word of God. You know, and so there's beyond reading, there is studying. Study the Word of God, you gain more insight into what God is saying, but that's just another level beyond reading. But beyond studying, there's a level of meditation where when you go, and God has given us this method, and this is biblical meditation. When you begin to meditate on the Word of God, you'll have an understanding that is beyond common intellectual sense. Meditation actually helps us to renew our minds and, you know, to God imparts to us all these different creative abilities. And, you know, he gives us, you know, he actually lets us walk in dominion like he told us to take dominion over the earth. He, through meditation, is how we'll be able to walk in dominion here on this earth. Now, I've used meditation, even though how I was taught in times past wasn't exactly, you know, how I'm going to teach you, because now this is, you know, in times past I've been taught by man, but this time it was really from the Holy Spirit. The way I asked him, I said, how do I teach this and how do I do it for me? I've done it. I've used meditation before and I've seen results. Now, can I say I've seen 100%? Sometimes, yes, I've seen 100-fold. But then, you know, when it comes to what did I do last time to see 100-fold, you find that I'm not getting back to that. So I had to ask the Holy Spirit, show me what I need to do so that each time I get 100-fold return on the word that I meditate. And so this is how this came about. And as in my study is when the Holy Spirit says, a lot of my people are not meditating on the Word of God, and therefore the Word is being stolen from them. And so it's not bearing fruit in their lives. It's not that God doesn't want to answer your prayers. It's the Word that will bring about the desires of your heart. You know, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God can change your situation. A lot of times people think, well, you need to pray for me for this. You need to pray for me for this. Sometimes you just need to be in the Word. And when you're in the Word, you'll get the answers that you need from the Word. Amen. And so meditation is a very, very, very important part of our Christian walk. Now, I was looking in the dictionary for the definition of meditation, and it says close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation, or to resolve in the mind, imagine, or premeditate. A lot of times we actually do meditate without realizing we meditate, and we do negative meditation. And negative meditation is when we're thinking over something in our minds over and over, but that's a negative thing. So like when we worry, that's negative meditation, you know, because when you're worried about something, all you're thinking of is that thing, and all day long it's consuming your mind all day long, you know, all night long you're worried about that thing, worried about it. And you even say, I'm worried about this, and I'm afraid this will happen, and I'm worried about that. Well, that's negative meditation, because you're constantly day and night thinking about that situation that is causing you stress. And so that is the negative meditation. So if you can turn that, take that, what you do with worry, and turn it into positivity, like with using the Word of God, and you think on the Word of God that way, and you let the Word of God, you know, revolve in your mind, and you think on it all day, all night, the same word, let it consume you, you know, all day, all night long, you'll see, you'll begin to get results. Now, I'll go through teaching you and showing you in the Word of God how it was done through, you know, our forefathers here. There's different accounts that I want to share with you from the Word of God so you can fully understand, you know, meditation. But one thing that's interesting is when you look at, you know, the condition of the church right now, you've seen that the Word of God is being preached everywhere. I mean, the word of God is coming out, you know, from every channel available, you know, whether it's on the computers, iPads, phones, you know, radio, TV, you name it, conferences, meetings, you name it. The word of God is being poured forth each and every day. There's no shortage of the word of God. Yet you find that in general, most Christians are still at the same place spiritually that they were 5, 10, 20, or 30 years ago when they first began or when they were first born again. Maybe there's been some things that have changed a little bit here, a little bit there, but not necessarily a lot of things changing. And so year in and year out, you're seeing people struggling with the same issues. You know, it's like they're going around and around the same mountain that they've been going in, you know, year in and year out. They're dealing with the same issues they dealt with last year. And even worse, they deal with the same issues that the world deals with, you know, and they don't even know how to separate themselves from the world. And, you know, the world can't even say, you know, well, you're different. Things are working out for you great. You know, how come things are working for you great? Because there's no distinction. You know, it's like the same problems they're experiencing, we're experiencing. So when you look at that, how can we win souls for Christ? Because we are supposed to be witnesses. When Jesus left the apostles, you know, he told them to wait so that they could be witnesses, to wait for the Holy Spirit, for the gift from the Father. And when he comes upon them, he will give them power and ability. You know, that power is dunamis. It means ability. He's going to release ability upon them so they could go out and, you know, witness for Jesus. And they would be the witnesses because their lives would be different. And so our lives, in order for our lives to be different from the rest of the world, one of the things we must do is to meditate. Amen. And the reason why we find that as believers, we're going through a lot of different challenges like the world, we're experiencing things that the world is experiencing, is because of the failure to meditate the word that we hear. So you can hear the word of God preached, you know, whether it's from a pulpit on Sunday morning or whether it's in a conference or whether you're listening to radio in your car or you're listening to a teaching on a CD or you're watching on TV. And if that word ministers to you, you can take that word, you know, and then meditate on it. You see, the problem is a lot of times people come to conferences, meetings, you know, different places, seminars, whatever. We hear the word and we're like, oh, praise the Lord, that was a good word. And when we go on and we go off, well, that gives time to the enemy to come and steal the word from us. We are not taking time to say, well, I heard that word that applies to me. Let me sit down and, you know, take in the nuggets that I heard and meditate upon them and see how I can apply these to my life, you know, to my daily life. We don't take the time to do that. And because of that, you find that because we're not taking the time to meditate on the word, it's very easy for the enemy to come in and to steal from us. And because of that, we find that people are going through so many different challenges and we're wondering, well, why is this happening? You know, I sent up my prayers. I've been praying. I've been fasting. How come things are not working for me? Well, you're missing a link, and the link is meditation. Listen, I'm not saying don't pray. Prayer is good. We are supposed to pray. Jesus said men ought to always pray, never to give up, cave in, or quit. So prayer is part of the equation. But the word of God, studying the word of God, you know, reading, studying, and meditating, that's a part that comes with being in the word of God. Then after you come out of that, you can actually figure out exactly how to pray correctly and pray the will of God. John 5:14-15 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Well, that praying according to his will is praying according to the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. So how are you going to know how to pray if you're not going to meditate in the word of God? So how are you going to know how to pray correctly? Now, you can take a scripture and pray it every single day, but not see results because you don't have the understanding. You haven't pulled out the mystery from this particular word. And this is what Jesus was telling the disciples, that to you, it has been given to know the mysteries. And so we are going to begin tomorrow, by God's grace, to learn exactly how to use biblical meditation and how it can produce revelation and spiritual insight for us in situations that we are dealing with. And it will cause us to, you know, become prosperous, just like, you know, it will cause us to make our way prosperous, and then we shall deal wisely and have good success. So I pray that you have been blessed by this teaching this morning, and I will continue part two tomorrow morning. And if you have questions, you can feel free to email me, and I can address them on, you know, on Friday. I'll try to address questions if people have questions. So if you feel that you didn't understand something, send me an email before Friday morning, and then we'll address that, or I can email you back, or I can address it on the show. But God bless you all. Have a blessed and prosperous day, and we'll speak again tomorrow morning by God's grace. Be blessed. Bye-bye.